it's true that the moment is divine perfection in form. It's true that what you're looking at, the screen I'm appearing on, the room around you, or the sky around you if you're outside, that is a unified field of consciousness, and that consciousness is essentially what you are. But it's also true that you are human. You're a character. You have a specific personality makeup with specific traumas and quirks and relative shortcomings. And it's true that our relative lives stagnate when we don't improve all of the aspects, both of ourselves, but also of our external relative realities, our financial life, our relationships, and things of that nature. So how do we reconcile both of these? How is it possible that everything is divine spirit and form, and yet at the same time we have like flaws that we can work on? It seems paradoxical, but the truth is that it's like a perfect dichotomy. It's like a divine dichotomy, and it's really like a Russian nesting doll, where the doll within the larger doll is completely held by the larger doll, but the doll within has its own distinct properties, and we could say it's its own thing, even though the larger Russian nesting doll actually contains it. And that's really the balance. It's to see that your relative human life in many ways is held by divine metaphysical truths, like the moment is all there is, and this is divine spirit and form. You're literally looking at divine spirit and form. And in many ways, it's like the metaphysical truths are the sort of playing field which allow for your relative human life to unfold, for your story to unfold, so to speak. It is the canvas that the story of your life is painted on. So metaphysical truths, the moment is all there is. This is divine spirit and form. There is no self, or everything is the self. All of those amazing deep metaphysical truths, that's like the canvas, right? That's like what's actually true about a painting. But what gives the painting life is its story. It's how the painting is painted, of course, which is why your relative human life in many ways is just as important to create a beautiful painting as the canvas. Now, without a canvas, you got nothing. You can't paint anything. So that's what makes it possible. But again, you know, the most beautiful paintings tell us the most beautiful stories. And what's so paradoxical about a story, about a fiction, is that it can be a profound vehicle for delivering truth. Because truth is not a set of facts. It's not a set of even spiritual understandings that you can memorize, like the ones I just repeated to you. Truth is what is. And sometimes stories do a better job at communicating what actually is, what's actually true, than our sort of cookie cutter scientific, spiritual understandings, like the ones I just gave you, basically, that consciousness is everything, that, you know, this is divine spirit and form. Sometimes understanding that can hold you back more than reading like a poetry sonnet from Rumi that's based completely on a fiction. And it's so paradoxical, but that's because truth is much more profound than you realize. It's not a set of facts. And so that was a little bit of a side tangent, but basically, that's how you reconcile the absolute and the relative. You have to see the importance of both to create a painting. And what is the point of living life if not to create beautiful paintings? Metaphorically speaking. Now, if you're actually a painter, even better. That works even better. But that's the joy of life. It's like Alan Watts said, you know, the point of dancing isn't to get to the end of the dance. It's to enjoy the dance itself. But there can be no dance without a dance floor, right? There can be no relative human life without the absolute truth of the sort of principle of existence itself. Now, remember, those are just like facts, spiritual facts I'm giving you. They're pointing to a deeper truth, which is this. This is what makes, again, your story possible. And it's your story which gives life meaning in many ways. That's what makes it beautiful, is the adventure. It's the excitement, and it's the low points as well, of course, the sad moments. Losing people you love, falling in love, starting a new adventure with friends, and then, you know, having an adventure come to an end. That whole journey, that whole path is what makes life meaningful. And I think that we can fall off into absolutes, into extremes, either into the relative, where we get so lost in the drama, we get so lost in the painting, so to speak, that we forget that it's really just a canvas with colors on it. But then also, we can get so lost in the absolute that all we see is a canvas with colors, and we completely miss the story. We miss the beauty and really the truth of the story and its reality. And I feel like intuitively creating the best life is a balance of both, because it's walking that tightrope which brings at least me the most joy. I'm sure, and I know we've heard stories of people basically just basking in absolute truth the rest of their lives, and I'm sure you could be fulfilled that way. But you would miss this whole other thing, which is relative human life and basically living your life to the fullest, doing what excites you, having amazing relationships and challenging yourself and growing, evolving, basically what my last episode was about. But then, you know, you could also go the other way and be sort of lost in that. Where, again, you're so lost in it that you completely forget how beautiful life is just in and of itself, exactly as it is in this moment, that it's perfect exactly as it is in this moment. And so the balance of those two, as far as I can see, is like the divine balance. And it's true fulfillment, because you get the realization and recognition of absolute truth, which again is not a set of facts. It's a direct conscious recognition. And you balance that with the journey of challenging yourself and of growth and evolution. And even though it may seem paradoxical, remember, just like a Russian nesting doll, it's really like a divine dichotomy. Just like the canvas and the painting, you need the canvas first. That's what is. And then you can paint whatever you want to paint in your life. And that's, man. To know the canvas, to know the nature of the canvas, what the canvas is, And then to also paint a beautiful painting on it is like you mastered life. And then to keep painting beautiful paintings is like you're a master. You're a true master. In my mind, that's what a true master is. And it's interesting because the beings that we think of that are the most, at least historically speaking, the most conscious and awake, I'm thinking of like the Buddha or Jesus. They painted a hell of a life. They lived an incredibly fulfilling, challenging, beautiful story of a life, you know? And so that just goes to show, you know, some of the most awake beings to walk this planet, they lived, you know, they dove right in. They didn't avoid it, and they didn't discredit its reality. They joined the dance, as Alan Watts would say. And that doesn't mean that I don't think that, you know, sages that were more sedentary or contemplative in the sense of that they didn't physically move much. I'm thinking of like a Maharaji, Ram Dass's guru, or like a Ramana Maharshi, really the Indian sages, seems like they have a really more, they just want a chill thing. That's fine, because their impact and how much they influence the world, how many people they woke up probably was like incredibly profound. You know, with all the people that came to them, the people that they taught and basically guided to awakening, like they still lived a very purposeful life, I guess, is my point, even though they might not have been physically moving a lot. And I think there's actually a story of Ramana Maharshi when he was younger. He had his sort of profound awakening because he laid on the floor. And then he like went off into a cave, this is a really good example of getting lost in the absolute. He like went off into a cave when he was like 15 or something, and he was just like basking in the absolute. And like at some point, like after a few years or something, his mom came to find him, and his mom was like, you know, Ramana, your dad died. You missed it, you know, he died. You were out here just like basking, you know, your head in the clouds, basking in absolute truth, and your dad died. And I think that that is when Ramana Maharshi decided like, oh, you know, like I can't like avoid relative human life and just like run away from it and go hide in a cave. I mean, you can, but I think that there's deep wisdom, and what that story conveys is that he missed out on the beauty and the profundity of the story, which is that I'm sure in that moment, even though he was totally awake to the nature of reality and how everything is one thing, he realized that, damn, I wish I would have spent some more time with my dad. And that's, I mean, if that's not the perfect balance, that story, again, stories can really deliver truth. Fictions can really deliver truth. And that story of Ramana Maharshi realizing like, oh my gosh, human life still matters. My friends and my family still matter. Compassion, kindness, humility. That love really is what matters. And that love really is like a fire, and it guides you. And you could forget everything I just said, and as long as that vibration of love is guiding you, you will be fine, because the love is the unifying force of life. Love, we could say, is God. love is what guides you. And I'm sure that Ramana Maharshi was guided by love in that moment. His mom told him, like, hey, your dad died, and you missed it because you were meditating way away from society in a cave. And so, yeah, I hope this video made sense. I hope that you understood it. But honestly, understanding it with your mind might get in the way. I know that's like another wrench to throw into this whole thing, but I guess just notice that you need a canvas to paint a beautiful story. And I mean, why else are we here if not to paint a beautiful story? I mean, why else would we be in form, living this really weird, relative, dualistic experience, if not to play it to the utmost sort of thing? So, yeah, see the beauty and the truth of the canvas. See the truth of the colors, but then also, you know, paint yourself a beautiful story. And don't think that painting a beautiful story is pointless. It's not. It's why the canvas is here again. So. Hit that like button for me. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. And as always, I'll see you in the next one. Peace. Hey, thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more, visit pursuitofspirit.com.